I remember growing up, and my cousin often visited a nursing home on Shabbos. He would visit the sick. Can anyone throw out a suggestion? Again, you can unmute yourselves. I understand everyone's muted. That being said, I think it's a little bit more fun when there's some interaction. Can anyone think of a reason to not visit sick people on Shabbos? Who can think of a reason to not visit the sick on Shabbos? What would you say?
Contagious.
Okay, very good. So in this generation, in the year 2020, we want to make sure that we're not spreading germs. Good. I'm thinking more rabbinical though. Yeah. Well, I mean, that is rabbinical. The Torah wants you to be safe. Why else? Why else might the Torah say better not to visit the sick on Shabbos, potentially at least? What would be a reason?
Well, from somebody who used to work in a nursing home, I could tell you a lot of the problems on Shabbos will be Chilul Shabbos, inadvertent Chilul Shabbos that may occur because of your visit.
Oh, that's a nice answer. Weintraub, very good. I like that a lot. Very good. Okay, so let's see a Gemara. I'll share it with you. And we'll look, actually, there's a machlokas, believe it or not, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You know what, Mendy, if you're the host, can you, do you know how to enable me to share a screen? If you go to, on the bottom where it says security, do you see it? All right, perfect. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, after all, Michael's official name right now is Andrew Markowitz. So you could also paskin of it, apparently. Because Michael's name right now on Zoom is Andrew Markowitz. So, yashar koach, Michael. Mazel tov. And we'll be having a gala celebration for Michael in a couple of weeks. So that's always a good. Okay, now, all right, let me try again. Share a screen. Ah, it worked. Okay, good job. Thank you for that. Okay, so here is a Gemara Maseches Shabbos. Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph 12a. So over here, Tanya, there's a Brisa over here. And it says that the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about certain things. And there is another example about the following. Here, it's brought down in the name of Shimon Gamliel, here where this little hand is. Ain, I'll zoom in a little bit more. Ain mishadchen as a tinoka, so you can't make a shidduch, make a marriage arrangement on Shabbos. La'areis velo es a tinok, l'amdo sefer. You can't make an arrangement to set a boy up to learn with a Rebbe. It's considered a monetary transaction to some degree on Shabbos. We're not going to passing like this. U'lalamdo umnus, you cannot teach someone a trade, a craft on Shabbos. Ve'ein menachmin avelin, you may not be, menachem avel, to make a shiva call. Ve'ein mevakrin cholin b'Shabbos, divrei Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, you may not visit the sick or be menachem avel on Shabbos. In contrast, Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel say, totally fine. So now, as my Rebbe Rav Yisrael Kamenetsky likes to say, what is the root of the dispute, right? Why would Beis Hillel say that it's totally fine to visit the sick and pay a shiva call on Shabbos, whereas Beis Shammai would all know it's inappropriate? Let's try to figure this out. So in the category of Shabbos, there's a concept of daber dabar. You shouldn't speak about business on Shabbos. Mimzo cheftzicha, right? You should only be dealing with Hashem's spiritual dealings, not your own business on Shabbos. But what in the world is the problem with paying a shiva call? What would you say? What would you say? Why can't you pay a shiva call on Shabbos? So look at Rashi all the way at the bottom, over here where there's a little hand, if you could see it. Don't worry, if you can't read it, it's totally fine also. Mishum demitzta'er. You yourself will feel the pain im hamitzta'arin, with those who are in pain. Namely, if someone is sitting shiva, lo aleinu, so they're in a bad state. So they're in a state of a very sad place. And you on Shabbos are not supposed to be feeling negative emotions. And by you paying a shiva call on Shabbos, it will make you sad. Wow. So that's why Beis Shammai holds its usher. But then the question becomes, so why is it mutter according to Beis Hillel? So who could try to figure that one out? Why would Beis Hillel say that it's allowed in light of Beis Shammai's svara? At least according to Rashi, it's going to make you sad. Why is that okay on Shabbos?
Because you're doing something positive for the other person.
Oh, very good. So Mendy nails it on the head. So right now in front of me, I have a Mishnah Brura open. I'm not going to be sharing that screen with you. But we almost always paskin like Beis Hillel instead of Beis Shammai. And that is why the Shulchan Aruch rules in Siman Reish Pei Zayin. There's only one sif in that Siman. Yecholim l'nachem aveilim b'Shabbos. We are certainly able to be menachem aval on Shabbos, v'chein yecholim levaker es acholet. And similarly, we may be mevaker chole on Shabbos. Oh, so now the question is, why? Why is that usher? Why is that not usher? Because we know exactly what Mandy just said, that you're going to lift the spirits of others. And by lifting the spirits of others, that overrides any other issue. So the Shulchan Aruch does qualify this halacha. And the reason why I want to speak about this halacha today is that I do want to relate it to the time of year that we are in right now. We are in what's called the 7 weeks of Nechama, designed in Nechemta, right? Linking the days of Tisha above and Rosh Hashanah, the 7 weeks. And Baruch Hashem, we are Zoha to now be on the opposite, the other side of Tisha B'Av. Yet the Nechama comes in stages. So we'll get there in a little bit. But anyone know, we know the one about Bikur Cholim is a little bit more famous. What's the halachic difference between being Mevaker Cholim during the weekday versus Shabbos? There's a difference. There's a difference in what you say. As opposed to saying what? X, we say Y. What do? When we visit a Chol during the Chol, we go up to him and we say, Refuah Shleima. Oh, Rabbi Weintraub's unmuting himself. I'm excited. Yeah, what do we say on Shabbos, Abi?
Well, we say that in Shul. Shabbos Yimilizam.
Refuah Kovavo. Right? And it's actually a Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Right? It's not just a cutesy thing that made its way in the Samishu Beruch somehow. No, it's a real halacha that, as opposed to the tone being, I hope that, you know, your sickness ends soon, we actually tie the theme of Shabbos to his current plight. And we tell the person, in the same way that it's Shabbos, which literally means to stop. Shabbos, the word literally means stop. So Shabbat him lizok, it should be stopping from your crying, from your screaming out, literally. V'refua krova lavo, and the refua shlema should come soon. V'rachamav, and the mercy of Hashem merubim, and Hashem is very merciful. V'shifto b'shalom. And he sits in Shalom. His Shabbos literally is stopping in Shalom. Namely, we connect the theme of Shabbos to his current plight. And the Mishnah Berura actually brings a different line to recite if you are Menachem Avil. Has anyone ever paid a Shiva call here on Shabbos before? Anyone ever do that? Is that a minug? Right? It seems a little bit weird. Now, Amandy, what do you have to say?
I did it actually when my uncle passed away, right? But that was about, it must have been at least 50 years ago. We went over to my aunt on Shabbos.
And would you have done that if you were not relatives? Was that more like being with the family, or was that like a classical Shiva call?
No, it was because she was my aunt. Otherwise, I'd never gone.
Right.
First and only gone.
Yeah. It's a man he's pointing at. Yes. Sorry, was that someone else had a comment?
Rabbi.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
To visit a person, a sick person on Shabbos, would that be enabling perhaps a refuah?
Of course. You're saying it?
So refuah is somewhat forbidden on Shabbos, right?
Oh, very smart. Very good. That's a very sharp question. So what's usher to do medicine, to do something medicinal? So to lift someone's spirits, though, is not an action that is under the category of medicine. Medicine is usher because they used to finely grind powder. So as a extension of that usher of tochein, of grinding powders and herbs, so you can't take pills on Shabbos. Now, it's true. Included in that isser is other medicinal beneficial activities such as exercise, push-ups, stuff like that, unless you really need to. If someone does need to exercise, lest they have a very negative outcome, certainly there are heterim. And if someone's going to go berserko in a mental way, if they don't get out on Shabbos and do their exercise, that's also serious heter. But just visiting someone to lift their spirits is not included in that prohibition. But that was a very sharp question. I like the question. Okay. So there is a different line. Although we generally pay shivakol and we say hamakom yenachem oschal, right, etc. On Shabbos, believe it or not, there is a different line we say. Here it is. This is a good one. The Mishnah Berura here writes, you should say Shabbat hi milanachem v'nechama krova lavo. So it should be a Shabbos that will give you nechama, and your nechama should come. And the Mishnah Berura does point out that other people are lenient to just say the regular Hamakom Yenachem, don't be so frum. And if you don't know this one, this little secret line tucked away in the Mishnah Berura, but you know, it's a good trivia question. This is like the black belt trivia question. What's the line of the Nichum Aveilim on Shabbos So again, the Mishnah Berurah would say, Shabbos hi milenachim v'nechama krova lava, right? Which is parallel to Shabbos hi milizok v'rufua krova lava. And it's a beautiful idea that on Shabbos we can lift people's spirits and give them nechama, because after all, we're just in the stage of the year of Shabbos nachamu. And the concept of Shabbos itself is a nechama. And at this point, I'm going to transition this year from, maybe a little bit more halacha to machshava, but halacha lemaisa, it's absolutely a mitzvah to be mevaker chole on Shabbos, absolutely a mitzvah to also what? To be menachem avel on Shabbos. So that being said, the minug is certainly not to be menachem avel on Shabbos. Although the minug is to be mevaker chole, I remember growing up in the Young Israel Jamaica States community in Queens, so there was a man, Oliver Shell, no longer with us, Morty Fogel. So Morty Fogel was not well one summer, and the whole neighborhood would go to his house every single Shabbos. It was a beautiful Kiddush Hashem. He was really bound to a chair or a room. He couldn't really get out. And every Shabbos in the summer, in the afternoon, especially, everyone would walk over. They'd make a Kiddush. And, it was a chavaya. It was a lot of fun, actually. And it lifted his spirits. And it was, like, actually, ironically, the fun place to be mevaker chola. So Mika Amcha Yisrael, always thinking about the people who can't make it to shul. And we understand such a thing. So, and as Mendy put it beautifully, that overrides any issue with it. The only last thing I'll say, halacha lemaisa, is that the Bi'ur Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim himself, says, is like this. If you normally visit the sick during the weekday, so you can also visit the sick on Shabbos, what would not be okay? It wouldn't be okay if you don't visit the sick on the week and you only save it for Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim, says like this, that, okay, during the week you're super busy, and Shabbos you actually have time to visit the Chola, that's fine. Okay, because sheyesh lo nachas mizeh, the Chola you'll know will get, the visitor will have nachas. Mizeh shuba elav levakra, I'm sorry. The person who was sick will feel better that you visited him. So then that's a mitzvah, and you should go even on Shabbos. Vinir dehu adin im halach levakor b'chol. Additionally, similarly, if you went to visit him during the weekday, you can also visit him on Shabbos. The only potential issue is, he says, is that if rakim b'chol ein holech klal, if you never would visit this person during the weekday and you only go on Shabbos, that would potentially be a problem. Unless what? You know that visiting him will be very beneficial for the chole. Or especially if you're a doctor. If you're a doctor, you could tell the person, or let's say you had that same illness, and you could advise the person what to do, how to ease the pain, etc. So it's almost never usher to visit a chole, but granted, it shouldn't be something, reserved for Shabbos to the exclusion of the weekday. But even then, if you could only have time to do it on Shabbos, you can also go on Shabbos, because when else are you going to go? So again, it's very hard to find a halachic issue with visiting the chola on Shabbos. And even though it is mutter, again, to visit a person sitting shiva on Shabbos, for some reason that minhag didn't take off. I would imagine people who are sitting shiva don't want visitors on Shabbos. I don't know. Anyone have anything to say? Did anyone ever hear sit shiva and wish they had more visitors that Shabbos? Was it a little bit too lonely on Shabbos? Does anyone wish people would have visited them more on Shabbos?
No.
Mandy was upset people visited him during the week also, it sounds like. Mandy was like, back off. Okay, Rabbi Weintraub, what do you have to say about this?
Very well. I was going to say that the way we do, unfortunately, the way we do Nicham Avelim before COVID, it's an inundation. It's really taxing the Avelim's time and the energy. So Shabbos is one day of rest that is most welcome when people are sitting shiva.
I've seen that, unfortunately, where Mikam Yisrael, Jewish people, are holy people and they love this mitzvah of Menachem Avel. But there was one time where I saw with my own two eyes that the person sitting shiva just got up and took a break. It was a classic Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night, like the thing to do, Saturday night activity, pay the shiva call. So a large percentage of the community was there, and the person sitting shiva just literally got up and took a little break in the kitchen, grabbed a bite, and you know, just couldn't handle the amount of people waiting for them to speak and stuff like that. So I have seen the person be a little overwhelmed. I've seen that.
Rabbi,
similar. Yeah.
I'll just share something. My first thing when I sat Shiva.
Yeah.
I spent all my energy with the cover of my mother, my father, that nobody should have a cross conversation that didn't belong in that house. So whenever I saw something like that, I kind of derailed it instantly. But when you're constantly in that mode, that you have to constantly do that, it takes a lot out of you. And I was able to do it, I would say, 99% of the time. The few times that I didn't, I actually physically got up and walked out of the room.
Wow, wow. Wow, so just in case anyone was not intimidated by Mendy before this year, let's don't mess. Very good, Mendy. I'm sorry that you had that experience. And obviously, no one on this year falls into that category. That Mendy needed to derail.
You're talking about maybe one or two out of 1,000 people. So it's good odds.
That is very good odds. Right. Especially here in Fairlawn. We'll just assume anyone who was doing anything wrong was from a different town, obviously. And not in our Kahila. You know, we'll just... Oh, very good. Very good. Very good. So this is the tension that we are honing in on. That's a fantastic question. Yes, seemingly Nicham Avelim at first glance would be contrary to the spirit of Shabbos, both in terms of the person sitting Shiva wanting a little bit of a break, and also just the tone of the room. We know that you're supposed to be happy on Shabbos, and there's a much more somber tone. It's just not Shabbos-dick, so to speak, to be in a Shiva house. It's just a little bit weird. It's a little bit weird. But I hear what you're saying. So that's what Beis Shammai's opinion is. Beis Hillel would argue that the ability to lift someone's spirits overrides any potential issue. You know, that's the idea. That's the idea. But yeah, but your question is Shitas Beis Shammai, but we would pass that it's okay. Okay. So moving on, I want to point out that there are different stages of Avelus. We know that there are 7 days of Avelus, and awkwardly, even though I don't think anyone does this, believe it or not, it is a strict halacha to not speak during the first day or two of Shiva. I'm going to try to find that exact halacha, but it's really not so clear that the Gemara even says that a visitor should not start the conversation, right? Meaning when you pay a shiva call, you're not supposed to want to initiate the conversation. The Avel should be the one to speak first. And that is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Levush says that because the Avel should show a sign of tsar, and the visitor is supposed to console him. So if the Avel never shows a sign of tsar, they have no reason to console him. Meaning, what's the idea? That the shiva call should start with the person sitting b'tsa'ar and should express tsa'ar, and then the people visiting him should comfort him. Wow. So this idea that the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he said that the Avel doesn't need to actually say words, even if he lets out a sigh, he lets out some form of speech, you know, that would be the, you know, enough of a initiation to let someone respond to his you know, state of tsar. But what I want to point out is, sorry, what'd you say, Ibi?
Possibly body language could do the same thing.
Right, exactly. Very good, very good. Yeah, that's the idea. That is the idea, 100%. So it's an interesting idea that there is, basically different stages of nechama. When we say that initially the Avel should not really speak at first, and the Avel shouldn't really leave his home during the first week of Avelus, you know, maybe not even sit in his regular seat. We know in Shul there's such a minug, but ultimately there are stages of Avelus. Everyone knows there's a difference between Shiva and Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh, and even within the first week of Shiva, there's a Shaila about the first few days as opposed to the other days, you know, going, being Mechalik in the different 7 days. Unfortunately, I don't have in front of me the exact halachos of, the different setup within the first, what the exact differences are between the first 3 days and the subsequent days in that first week. But ultimately, there are different levels of nechama. And we know that, you know, the Midrash says that the Haftorahs that we are reading now are a back and forth, a dialogue, where in the first week, what happens? Hashem says to the Nevi'im, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And in this week, what happens? This past Shabbos, we said, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. No, we will not accept Nechama. And then again, we try, and only in when Elul comes on week four, where the Hashem himself does not use an intermediary, but he says, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. I myself will come give you Nechama. And that means that ultimately that receiving Nechama, comes in stages. We're not always ready to receive the Nechama, and that's okay. And here we are just a couple of weeks, not even a week and a half or so after Tisha B'Av, and the Nechama sets in slowly. It's not necessarily natural to just feel one extreme emotion on one day and then jump the other way all the way. Oh, and everything's fine less than 24 hours later. That's not the way people work. People need time to transition, and that's okay. And I thought this halacha honed in on that tension, where on one hand you can understand that it's Shabbos, it's a beautiful day of rest, yet you can also visit someone who's sad on Shabbos and understand that it's not exactly Shabbos for them. While you might be able to enjoy your chalent and your Zadie's, you know, cake, they might not be able to do that Shabbos. They might not be physically able to or emotionally able to, but ultimately it's okay to visit people in that state and explain to them that it's a process, that it still is Shabbos. It still is Shabbos. And we can try to move on and try at least to bridge the gap between your negative emotions and the positive emotions of Shabbos Kodesh. In the same way that we receive Nechama in stages, we also grant Mechila in stages. And this is where we transition from the month of Av to the month of Elul, Elul, right? Scary name, Elul. We know, right? Rabbi Saul Salanter said that Elul was like a great bear, right? It was a big homework assignment, namely to do tshuva. When people would bench Rosh Chodesh Elul, they basically said, okay, it's time to step up. Rosh Hashanah is coming. The Yom HaDin is coming. We have to make sure that we're on our A game. And that also means that we have to forgive people that we may have been holding on to some negative emotions about. So I'll quote a halacha to you in front of me. I have Rav Nevin Saleh, former Rav of the Old City. He's still alive. He should live on May of the Esrim. Talmud Muvak, or one of the leading Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. Nevin Saleh is a Gadol Hador. He's also a master in Musar and a walking Kiddush Hashem. We're talking about someone who is rather old, but has not slowed down all that much. He knows Kol HaTorah Kula on his fingertips. A remarkable human. And he was asked in this question, the Sefer is dedicated to the Torah of the Yamim Noraim, and he has a halacha tshuva questions as one of the sections. So let's say someone insults you, and you genuinely do not fully forgive him yet, and he asks you for mechila, and you basically say, I forgive you with your mouth, but internally you don't really feel like you forgive the person, meaning you're still holding on to some negative emotions internally. So what would you say, logically? Does that count as mechila or not? Meaning, I say, yeah, I'm mochel you. But inside, I still feel a little bit hurt. What do you think? Good enough or not good enough?
Not good enough.
Oh, why not?
It's not really mechila.
So, but you said you're mochel. You granted the person mechila.
You're being too fake. Come on, you know, in your heart, you don't mean it. Hashem hears you.
So the million-dollar question, who wants to disagree? Who wants to buy? I only see that your name is iPhone. What's your name?
Julian Octagon.
Oh, okay. So who wants to disagree? Who wants to disagree?
Rabbi,
yeah.
Is it Ben that you say I don't mochel you?
Well, that maybe. If you really are not mochel, there is a concept of confrontation, of sitting it down and hashing it out, where it's, hey, you know, why are you being... That's right. I hear that. Okay, yeah, Rabbi Weintraub, what do you have to say over here?
Well, you put yourself in the shoes of the of the person who got nechila, even if it's not the 100% nechila. That person thinks his tshuva for this person, his asking nechila, is done. So you're giving him a clean slate. What is he supposed to do? He got nechila. So he can't just, say, I don't mean it, and retroactively put this person back into problems.
Very good. Very good. I like it a lot. So I'm going to tell you what, Rav. Yeah.
Sometimes if you see it, you will then begin to feel it.
Very nice. The famous idea of the Sefer HaChinuch. Acher ha-pu'ulosim shachos ha-levavos, right? If you do something, then you'll buy into it, right? If you do something, then your heart will follow. Very nice. Very nice. Excellent. Very nice answer. So the answer given in this Sefer, in the name of Rabbi Shaul Salanter, is that as long as you say in your mouth, I mochel you, that is sufficient, even though there is still negative emotion in your heart. And the way I understand this halacha is that at least you're committing to try to be mochel. Meaning when you tell the person, I mochel you, what you're in essence saying is, I want to be mochel you. Even though I can't actually feel 100% okay with what you did to me, I'm trying to get there the best that I can. And that represents a very brave, courageous act of where you're trying to make amends, you're trying to be friendly, even though it's not really 100% there yet. And this past Shabbos, we read where Hashem basically did the same thing for us. And I think this is a mitzvah of Halacha d'Bidrachav. Namely, we are supposed to imitate Hashem. Because we know that when Moshe came down after the first set of 40 days, he saw us violating the awful sin of the Chet HaEgel. And he threw down the tablets. And Moshe and Parshat Ekev said, then I went back up for a second set of 40 days. And believe it or not, there was a third set of 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. And when Moshe came down on Yom Kippur, that was the Yom Slicha Umechila, we finally were fully forgiven and Hashem granted us the second Luchos. And the question is, well, what in the world was going on in those second days, that second set of 40 days. When Moshe came up the second time, Rashi quotes that Hashem gave him the green light to go back up because he said, all right, let's try to work on the second set of luchos. Yet Rashi also says in Pasuk Yirches that the second set of 40, Hashem was bika'as, he was angry. So wait a minute. If Hashem told Moshe right after Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, go back up, let's try to get to the second set of Luchos, well, why was he still angry with us? It almost sounds like Hashem forgave us on Yurches Tammuz, immediately after the Chet HaEgel, said, okay, Moshe, come back up a second time, we'll work it out. Yet he was also still upset. And I think that's exactly this halacha of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the Sifsei Chachamim explains Rashi this way, that granted, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, it was only an agreement where Hashem was able to say, okay, I'll give you the second Luchos. You've earned the right to the second Luchos. That was after the second set of 40 days. But only after the third set of 40 days did Hashem forgive us for the Chet HaEgel, meaning Hashem forgave us in stages, that we had betrayed him, we had worshipped another god, and Hashem was not willing to just go straight from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Yom Kippur. First, Hashem said, okay, Moshe, come back up, we'll try this again. Moshe had to daven for our survival, and Hashem said, okay, I forgive them. I don't fully forgive them, though. I forgive them a little bit, almost like achas pepeh v'achas belev. And then only on Yom Kippur did we fully reunite with the Ribono Shel Olam and grant access to that Lev Shalom, that Lev Shalem of full Slicha Umechila. And if we are Zocha to be on the Madrega to forgive people immediately, Kol HaKavod, if we're in a state of Nicham Avelim where we're fully able to feel better immediately, it's a wonderful, wonderful advantage. But often people are more complex and they need time. Nechama comes in stages and Mechila comes in stages. And I'll stay on for any questions, but I'll end the recording in a second. We should all be Zocha to get to the final stage of Nechama, and maybe a skula for the final stage of Nechama is if we are quicker we are more quick to forgive those who have wronged us and maybe grant those a few passages and skip the stages and just forgive people as if it's the final stage. We should all be zochet to see that final chametz mehevre amenu.